They don't get more halacha l'maisa than tonight's topic. Shnayim mikravecha targum. Gemara, I accidentally cut it a little short on the Mara Makomo, so if you saw it inside the Gemara, it's a little better. The Gemara, on the bottom of Chesam and Aleph and Brachas, and let's pay careful attention as we read it to what needs analysis in this Gemara. And actually, before I even read the Gemara, let me just outline a couple of things. One thing is that we're going to find 9 or 10 different issues that come up with Shnayim mikravecha targum that are at least a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim, at least a discussion or a machlokas in the poskim. It seems very neat and very convenient to plug all 9 or 10 issues into a single chakira. I'm going to save the chakira for later, but it seems that after we go through each of these issues, that they can plug in very nicely to a single chakira in the understanding of what Shnayim mikravecha targum is all about. So we're gonna first go through the issues, and then we're gonna see if it in fact does plug into the chakira. But I think if we're really, really honest with ourselves, in the end of the day, we're gonna find that a lot of times you have a chakira, it's either this or it's this, and all 10 machlokesim line up, you know, with this, with tzad aleph, tzad beis. What often happens is, if you're really honest with yourself, it's not either this or that. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's an element of both in the chiyuv shnayim mikravecha targum. So that's just the structure of the shiur. There are also really two things that we need to analyze. One is, once we know that there's a chiyuv of shnayim mikravecha targum, first thing we have to ask is, why is there a chiyuv of shnayim mikravecha targum? What is the purpose of shnayim mikravecha targum? It's certainly not a din d'oraisa. It seems like something that Rabbanu were misakin, that they thought it's a good idea, dafka, to do shnayim mikravecha targum. They were never misakin to do daf yomi. They were never misakin to do any... Dafka shnayim mikravecha targum. Why dafka this limud? Why were they misakin to dafka do shnayim mikravecha targum? That's one. Second issue we're going to have to discuss more narrowly is, okay, I understand you want me to learn Chumash. Why targum per se? Meaning, what are we trying to accomplish with reading specifically targum as opposed to, I don't know, Rashi, English translation, anything else, Yiddish translation, I don't know, whatever floats your boat, right? Why is it dafka that we choose targum, the balaturim, that we choose targum as the mefarish of, or as the, I don't even want to say mefarish, because that maybe gives away a little too much, it assumes too much, I should say, about what the purpose is, but why is it that we choose targum as the one to accompany the Shnayim Mikra? And we'll bring in an extra Mara Makomos. Hi.
Hey, John.
Shalom Aleichem. How are you? So maybe some extra Mara Makomos. I didn't bring down the extras. I apologize. So let's take a quick look at the Gemara, and let's try to see what needs further analysis in this Gemara. So the bottom line of Daf Chesam and Aleph. Am Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Am Rav Ami, La'olam yashlam adam parshiyosav imatzibur shnayim mikravecha targum. So right away something should jump out at you. What would you say if you want to say Yechayiv du shnayim mikravecha targum? Chayiv likra, shnayim mikravecha targum. What does it say? Yashlim adam parshiyosav im hatzibur. So right away, it gives you a sense that this din of shnayim mikravecha targum has something to do with connecting to the tzibur in some way or another. Good. And yashlim parshiyosav, yashlim to complete the parshios, sounds very goal oriented. Right, it's not about this the act of doing something. It's about accomplishing something. It's about finishing. It's about okay. We have to see what that means. So good. That's the first line. Says the Gemara. Next line. That's also going to need analysis. Va'afilu ataros v'divon. Even words like ataros v'divon. What in the world does that have to do with anything? So it's a pasuk. Va'midbar perek lam beis ataros v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon v'lelei usavam unavo va'on. It says on the side of the page in the Torah or Hashalim. Right, that's the whole pasuk. A list of places. Right, so just, even that you need to do shnayim mikra ve'echa targum. So what's the even? What's special about those words? Of all the words in the Torah. There are thousands of words in the Torah. I don't know exactly how many, but there are a lot. Of all the words, anyone here know how many words are in the Torah? What? Well, the machlokes is where is chatzi, right? Where the chatzi words are and where the chatzi letters are and shishim ribio osios. But I mean, in our Sifrei Torah, we got to know how many words there are. Whatever it is, there's some number of words in the Torah, and there aren't 600,000 letters either. By the way, the Gemara in Kiddushin says there are, but it's a little more than half that, I think. But yeah, sorry. Warm on the comments. Yeah. So of all the words in the Torah, why does the Gemara Dafka single out Ataros V'diva? Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter. That's question number two to put in the back of our minds. Shekol Mashlim Parshiyosav V'Matzibur Marichon Lo Yama V'Shnosav. Anyone who's Mashlim Parshiyosav V'Matzibur is going to live a very long life. So question number three. What's question number three? Why? What does that have to do with living a long life? I mean, the Torah tells you live a long life for certain things, for kibud avim, shiluach hakan, man yarichun yamecha. Okay, good. What does Mashlim Parshiyosav V'Matzibur have anything to do with arichus yamim? Okay. Ravi Bar Abaye Savar Lashlamin Parshiyosav Dekula Shasav Mali Yom Dekipurei. He wanted to finish all the Parshios of the whole year on Erev Yom Kippur. I guess he was bored in Erev Yom Kippur, where he thought it would be a great idea going into Yom Kippur, with that zuchus in his back pocket of being mashed in the whole year's worth of Parshios. Tani lechia barav midifti, so chia barav midifti taught him ksiv v'nisam asav shtech b'tishol chodesh b'erev v'chia b'tishol masan v'lo b'asar masanin. Pasuk says you fast on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei, but we know that that's not true. We fast on the 10th day of the month of Tishrei. In fact, if you fast on the 9th and the 10th, you're likely to die. It's going to be very, very dangerous. So you don't want to do both. So what should you do? Elom l'cha. No, the Torah is telling you, kala ochel v'shosu b'chi, ma'le lov kosum kilu masan v'chi v'asiri. So you need to be busy eating today. If you eat on the 9th day, then it's ki'ilu, you get zuchus, as if you had fasted on the 9th and 10th. So eat! Don't learn all of the parshios today. So sovel akdu minhu. So he had an idea. He figured the Akdu Minu. Zokt Rashi, l'sader kol ha-parshios b'shabbos achas o b'shtei shabbosos. He wanted to get ahead of the game. Some people, before they go on vacation for a week, they'll daven up 7 dapa megemara for the daf yomi to make sure that they're safe for a while. You've been there, right? You want to make sure that you're safe for a while. So you suffer Akdu Minu. He figured, I want to cover myself for the parshios for the whole year. So he finished up all of the parshios. You suffer Akdu Minu. Amle husaba. Can't do that. You can't do it early, you can't do it late, you gotta do it on time. So now question number, what do we have to do? 4? Why do you have to do it on time? If the point is just to learn the Torah, so learn the Torah. Why do you have to do it on time? Imat Tzibur, okay. So we have to define what Imat Tzibur means also. Does that mean that everyone, is it like a Daf Yomi idea, that everyone should be on the same schedule, everyone should be doing the same learning, so everyone's holding in the same inyanim all the time? Okay, something to discuss. And also, what else was I going to say? He wanted to be Maktim, so they said, I forgot what other question I was going to ask. Kedam Rabbi Shimon Levi Lebnei, Ashlimu Parshiyosaichu Im Matzibur Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum. Oh, how about another question? What does it mean in the right time? When is the right time? Is it the entire week? Is it a given day of the week? What exactly is the right time for Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum? Is there a specific right time? And what if you miss the right time? Is it a waste now? Like, if I didn't take lulav this past Sukkot, so it's a waste of time for me right now to take lulav, right? I missed it. You blew it. So you say the same thing to Shai Mikra? So I missed. I missed Parshas, whatever, Baloscha. So I blew it. So it's too late. What night is it? It's already Wednesday night? Okay, I blew it. It's too late. I'll get it next year. Or do you say, no, there's an Indian to Dafka catch up? Right? That's Gemara doesn't say. Just says that you certainly shouldn't plan on trying to think you're going to get ahead of the game and you're going to be mashing everything in advance. And you also shouldn't be machri, you shouldn't delay. But it doesn't say what would happen if you mess up. And then he told him a few other pieces of advice. Okay, that's already a separate issue. So let's go through all of these different issues and some more issues, and then we'll see what the lumdus might be behind it. So first of all, what does it mean to be Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum? What does Targum mean? So Tosos of here quotes two deos, whether you yotze l'loazos b'la'az, that if a person speaks French, can you do Shnai Mikra V'Echad French? If you speak English, Shnai Mikra V'Echad English. Meaning no one understands the Targum anymore anyway, you don't understand the Aramaic. So is there any point in doing Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, of Dafka doing Targum? So if you look at Tosos, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, Yesh Mefarshim, V'Wadin L'Lozos B'Laz Shalahen, Havi Kimo, Targum Shemefarish L'Pamim. And you could say that Lozos L'Laz is also good, because that's like a Targum, it sometimes explains the Inyan, so it's like a Targum. Moshe, Targum, Mefarish, Lamaretz, Kachem, Avinu, Mitoch, Alaz. What's the word? Just like Targum is there for Amei Aretz were assumed to have spoken Aramaic. That was the spoken language. Where do we see that already? Tosos Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, when he said, why do we say Kaddish in Aramaic? Why isn't it a Hebrew prayer? So Tosos says, because we used to say it after the Agadat Hashir, which all the Amaratzim would be around after the Agadat Hashir, because Amaratzim used to go to Shirim also. So we would say it after the Shir. We wanted to throw them a bone, give them a tefillah that they could understand. So we would say the Kaddish in Aramaic. So similarly over here, just like the whole idea of Targum is make the Torah understandable for Amaratzim. So if you have an Amaratz who speaks English, let him read an English translation. You have an Amaratz who speaks French, let him read a French translation. Fine, that's very logical, right? Says Tosos, v'lo nehira. Sharei Targum mefarish b'ma she'ein lilmod min ha'ivri. He says, no, that assumes that the goal of Targum, and this gets back to the second Chakira we mentioned before. Why Targum? What are we trying to accomplish dafka by using Targum? So he says, the assumption of that first opinion is that Targum is to translate. So you can know what's going on. So you can have a basic idea of what the Torah is about. But he says, no, Targum is more than a translation. It's a perush. Why he chooses certain words and which words he omits and which when he adds extra words in the translation. Targum Unculus is a perush. And if it's a perush, any English translation is not going to be that same perush. Targum Unculus was written Baruch HaKodesh, Unculus Hager. It was something that was a very, very valuable book. So it's not just a translation, it's actually a perush. So you want a perush for Shnayim Mikravech Targum, you really want to understand the Inyanim well. It has the added advantage that even Amaratzim could understand it. That's why they chose that perush. Right? So Tos says, Kedashkam Kamaduchti, how do I know Targum is a perush? It doesn't look like a perush. You open up a chumash, it looks like a translation. He says, Gemara Megillah says, El Moli Targum Dahaikra, that Rav Yosef said, El Moli Targum Dahaikra lo yadana maika amar. Had it not been for the Targum of a particular pasuk, I would have no idea what it's saying. I would have had kashas, but the Targum answers my kashas. So you see, the Targum is actually a perush. So that's why he says you shouldn't say in any other lashon pam shlishis ki im b'lashon targum. By the way, I left out another question. Why dafka two times mikra? Wouldn't it make more sense echad mikra ve'echad targum? Why do we dafka have two mikra and one targum? Also a little bit of a strange thing. Okay, so Tosa already touches on that second chakira. What's the point of the targum? Is the Targum to translate or to be mefarish? The Rush quotes Ashita that, well, if you hold really, like Tosos says in the end, like the second day in Tosos, that primarily the Targum is there to be mefarish, so the best way to do Shnayim Mikravecha Targum should be to use the best mefarish ever, which is, when you learn Chumash with Rashi. So Rashi should be the ideal way to fulfill Shnayim Mikravecha Targum, because if you're going for mefarish, you want Rashi. What's the disadvantage of using Rashi? It's not in every word. Is Targum in every word? Well, not in a Taurus V'divon. Right? That's what makes a Taurus V'divon. But it's on a lot more words than Rashi is on.
Targum doesn't repeat those words.
The Targum, all it does is repeat those words. It doesn't translate into anything
else.
Rashi doesn't even do that. So if your goal is to get everything three times, with Rashi you're only getting it twice. Right, with at least those, even if the psukim that don't have Rashi, you read a third time, but still there are words that you're, you know, in the psukim that do have Rashi that you're not getting on the third time around. But if it was all about the perush, it would seem to me that Rashi would make a lot of sense as a perush. If it were all about the translation, so it tells us, right, you could read the art scroll, right, if we're all about the translation. Where does the truth lie? Probably somewhere in between. It's probably a combination of the Perush and the translation. Why did they dafka choose Targum? Because Targum all the Amaratzim understood, so it was good to help them understand. And it's a Perush, so it's good for everybody. It has a little something for everybody. But the Rush quotes his Deya that Rashi is good enough. And in Divrei Chamudos, on the bottom of the Rush, he says that Rashi may even be better than the Targum, again, going from this angle that it's a Mefarish. In fact, in the Bir Halacha, he goes through a whole arichus about the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat Vav, and then Bir Halacha about the relative advantages and disadvantages of Targum versus Rashi. And he says, at the end of the day, I think the Maskana the Bir Halacha has, if you look in, I have the Bir Halacha here somewhere, if you look in the Maskana the Bir Halacha has in source number 14, he writes that, At the end of the first paragraph over there, Hayotzi Midvarenu, last three lines. De ein lanu posek mefurash sheyizbar da targum chashuv tfei mipirush Rashi. There's no one mefurash that holds that targum is better than Rashi. Umikalmakum near ledina lino kabeis Yosef tafshe pirush Rashi mefarish asin yin Yosef me'targum av mepreshi yesh kama tevels v'gam kama psukim shein aleim pirusha shel Rashi imkein lo nishra lo ki im mikro levad v'atargum mefarish kol pasav v'kol teva. So it says the Be'er Halacha, there's no one that says explicitly that the Targum is better than Rashi, but when you take into consideration the fact that the Targum covers every single pasuk and every single word, and Rashi doesn't, it seems that Targum is a better idea. But let's think for a second. If the whole advantage that Targum has over Rashi is that it's a better mefarish, that people understand it better, and Amratzim understands it better, so nowadays, where very few people actually understand what they're reading when they read Targum, so it's doing a lousy job as a mefarish for people who don't speak Aramaic, right? So then it would come out that Rashi would be better, except even though Rashi is not a very, sorry, as a targum, as a translation, even though Rashi is not a translation at all, but at least he gives you he's mefarish things for you. So it would come out that bizmanenu, it would be a hard sell to try to figure out why targum is any better. Unless there's some third side to this chakira. Again, if the issue is do I need a translation or do I need an explanation? So then nowadays, where Targum affords you neither, because you don't understand a word that he's saying, so it's neither a translation nor an explanation, and Rashi's at least an explanation, even if not a translation. So it seemed to be Yotze Kol HaDeos, read Chumash, art scroll translation, or any translation, not Dafka art scroll translation. Chumash, you know, as long as it wasn't written by Nabikoros or whatever, read Chumash with translation, and read Rashi. And that way you'll have the explanation, the translation, and the explanation. Unless there's a third side. Why we Dafka choose Targum. So what would the third side be why we choose Targum? Yeah, there's something special about Targum. That Targum, for whatever reason, meaning, let's say you didn't understand Chumash, even with all the translations, for whatever reason, you just don't get it. So should you say, well, I'm never going to understand it anyway, there's no point in Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? No, we would never say that. You still do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, you try your best. Right? You try your best to understand whatever you can. We don't just do away with Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum because you don't think it's spiritually satisfying. And let's say you say, I could be learning much better than this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva I have in the packet over here also toward the end, where someone asked him, you know, I'm a Ben Torah, I don't have time for Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Right? He says, L'mailas Kol Rav Gaon, he writes a letter to somebody, he says, Hinei be'inyan ha-mitzvah shemuchiv kol echad ve'echad, Likro, it is source number 17, Aparsha b'kol shvur Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, V'ravaseinu af me'arishon ha-masifu shesarach lumel gam pirush Rashi shal kol Aparsha, shenesrashu mo'od af itzal harbe b'nei Torah. A lot of people, a lot of Bnei Torah don't do this. So says Moshe, Pashru bar kamashlo niftar shum adam ikol mitzvot rabbanan b'tayin ashol seik b'torah ken lo niftar af mitzvah zu. You're not pater from Megillah when you're seik b'torah. You're not pater from any other mitzvah rabbanan when you're from Marar b'zman hazeh when you're seik b'torah, from Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh when you're seik b'torah. Why in the world do you think you're pater from Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? He says, don't be ridiculous. He says, "Vadrab, Av Misha Tarasu Umnaso." Even someone who's Tarasu Umnaso, who we saw, wouldn't even read Kriya Shema. Is Chayiv in Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? It's got to be part of your schedule. Nothing to talk about. So, a person can't just say, "Well, I'm just going to cut out Mikra. I don't like Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum." There's no such thing. A person can't say something like that. So it says. So it could very well be that's what Targum is also. That Targum became non-negotiable. It's part of the Takana. You can't just say it was written Baruch Kodesh, it's very important, and it's part of Takana. But it's not just as part of Takana, it has an additional element. Targum didn't just play a role in someone's private learning life. Where else did Targum play a role? Where else did they use Targum back in the old days?
The actual laning.
They had a mitargim up by Kriyas HaTorah. The Balkari would read, someone else would be mitargim for the entire tzibur. So Targum became part of the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah. So once it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, it could very well be that's why it's part of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. That Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is your preparation, and this is where we first begin to look at what the point of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is, but it might have something to do with your preparation for Kriyas HaTorah. And if it has to do with the preparation for Kriyas Torah, just like the Yikur Takana of Kriyas Torah is with a Targum, so the Yikur Takana of Shnayim Mikra is with Targum, Dafka with Targum. Right? That could, and if that's the Tzad, then you say Targum, forget Rashi. It's got nothing to do with Rashi, then you got to do Targum. So basically, it's three-headed Chakira. Is it translation, explanation, or Takana of Kriyas Torah? That's just the nature of the Takana. Yeah?
Wasn't it just for practical reasons that they did the Targum of the Torah? It's not like they made it part of the Mitzvah of the Torah. They were just helping people understand it. It's like, it's not,
well, why is it so important that people...
The Torah is holy. The Targum is explanation. So, yeah. But if we don't understand the explanation, there's no point.
We'll see if there's no point, if you don't understand. It's not so posh that there's no point. But even so, even if there was a practical goal in doing it,
so
but once they made that the Mitzvah...
Yeah.
Once they made that the mitzvah, so then that shaped the takan of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. So even this would fall into the classic category of a mitzvah midrabanan, where the tam of the mitzvah no longer applies. Right, the tam of reading Targum may have been to prepare ourselves for hearing the Targum in shul, but now that tam no longer applies. It's similar to like the minhag that the Mishnah Berurah quotes to read the Haggadah. The Rama quotes reading the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. Just to pray, get yourself, not to know every vart and every deal, but just familiarize yourself with what you're going to be doing when the big show comes, right? When the Seder comes. So you familiarize yourself with the Targum when it comes. So if the Tam no longer applies, does the whole Takana fall away? So that's a major discussion, when we can say the Takana falls away, when the Takana doesn't fall away. Typically speaking, the Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim that even when a Tam is no longer there, the Takana still remains. Right, that's the typical assumption. There are definitely exceptions to that rule, and the being magdir when those exceptions are and when they aren't is an interesting topic in its own right. But it would seem that if it's patterned after Kriyas HaTorah, well, that's the way they made the takana. So you can't just do away with it because the time no longer applies. But if the takana wasn't really about targum, the takana was about read Chumash twice and understand it. Understand what it's saying. Or read Chumash twice and go deeper. Go deeper than just Pasha Pshad. That's what the Takana was. Good. So the first way you'd go with Aritz Kol, the second way you'd go with Rashi. So it's all a Chakir about what the Takana was. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two, what do you do with words that don't have a Targum? So the Gemara says, Afilu Ataris V'divan. Says Rashi, what's so special about them? They don't have a Targum. So what do? You read them three times. Right? They don't have a Targum. Rashi says, Shein Bo Targum. So you have to do Shnayim Mikvecha Targum and them also, so you read them three times. Yeah?
When we say Shnayim Mikvecha Targum, do you have to actually read it or you can scan it?
You actually have to read it or... Okay, also a good question. Good. And that may... That Pashtus is, it sounds like the Poskim, that you have to read it. But we'll have to... Oh, what about for Targum? We'll see. Rav Soloveitchik has a very nice piece. Rabbi Ganak has a nice footnote on Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. On that particular issue. And it may also tie into the Chakira that we're going to say. It may also tie into this bigger picture. By the way, what if you use a different Targum? Targum Yerushalmi, Targum Yonasan and Nazil. That's also both a translation and a Mefarish. So if you have something that's both a translation and a Mefarish, so you'd say, let's go back into our three-sided Chakira. If it's about translation, good. If it's about explanation, good. But if it's about preparing yourself for Kriyas HaTorah with the Targum, well, they're not going to be really Targum Yerushalmi or Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel and Shul. So it would be no good, right? So it would seem to be on some level better than Rashi in that way, but it's also worse, right? So that's, okay. So the second issue, what about words that don't have? So again, Rashi says, Ataras V'divan, that's what the Gemara means. And that's what the Rambam writes also. The Rambam writes that you should read it three times. Tosos and the Rush, however, on Ataras V'divon, if you look in the second Tosos on the page, in Chesem Beis, I don't remember if I put it in the Marmukomos, Pirush Rashi Afilu Ataras V'divon Shein Bo Targum, Shetzarech Lekros Shlosha Pa'amim Be'ivri. So you read it three times in the Hebrew, says Rashi, V'kasha, Amaynach Ataras V'divon Shei Shlomi Komakum Targum Yerushalmi. If you want to pick something that doesn't have a Targum, why would you pick those? Why not pick something that doesn't have any Targum? Those words at least have a Targum Yerushalmi on them. Wait, why does it matter that it has a Targum Yerushalmi on it? So again, this plugs back into our Chakira. Rashi must be understanding, I don't care that it has a Targum Yerushalmi. Why? Because to me, Targum is based on the fact that it's going to be read in Shul. So Targum Yerushalmi is Lomal of Lomorid. Makes it no better or worse if it has a Targum Yerushalmi. It doesn't mean anything to me. Whereas Tosus would say, no, Targum is there either to translate or to be Mefaresh. So as long as, so substitute, and wherever Targum Unkelus doesn't have something, substitute with one of the other Targumim, and you'll be Yotze. It's not about Unkelus per se. It's about being Mefaresh. It's about translating. Right? That's what seems to be the point of dispute here, or might be the point of dispute here between Rashi and Tosfos. So says Tosfos, you know what would have been a good example to use? Hayil Olomar, Ruvain v'Shimon. Say Ruvain and Shimon. Those names never have a Targum, because it's names. It just says Ruvain and Shimon. O Psuk Achrin Hashem Bo Targum Klal. V'yesh Lomar, so says Tosfos, I have a different approach. Yishem Hachi Nakra Toros V'divon. Afo Gav Shem Bo Targum Yadua, Elo Targum Yishalmi, V'tzarek Likros Gimel Pam Me'ivri, V'kal Makom Yoser Tov Likros Pam Shlishis V'Targum. He says, no, what we're saying about a Toros V'divon is that don't be lazy. Even when you have something that doesn't have Targum Unkelus, find another Targum. Go look in Targum Yerushalmi, look in Targum Yerushalmi, look around, find another Targum, and read that Targum. Quite a chumrah. That's why I feel the Targum is redeeming, because Reuven and Shimon, no Targum is going to be there. So it's not about being lazy, there's nothing you can do. You read it three times, what else can you do? But a Targum for Divon, you have another possibility. The Tur writes that the Minhag HaOlam is to be machmir like Rashi. We read it three times. If you read with Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should read these psukim that don't have those psukim that don't have Rashi. You should read three times, right? Again, based on like what now over here Rashi doesn't say three times. Rashi just says Shein Bo Targum, but Tosfos adds when he quotes Rashi that when you Ein Bo Targum it must mean that you're supposed to read it three times. Okay, so that was issue number two. Wait. Yeah.
So is it on the pasuk meaning one? So it's not about each word having a targum, right?
Well, it sounds from Tosfos it is.
Okay.
Right? It sounds from Tosfos that any words that don't have a Targum, look for another Targum on. But it sounds from the way the Mishnah Berurah says, any Pasuk that doesn't have Rashi, so then go with Rashi. Which is interesting. I don't know why. I mean, L'chorot should be on each word. Right? Why should it be only... Why, if Rashi, there's a Pasuk that has three parts to it. There's an Asnachta, an Amerch, whatever. It has several parts to it. So you're going to... And there's a Pirush Rashi on the last little part. So why is that good enough? I don't know. A good question. The third issue that the post can discuss, and we're going to run through these issues and hopefully get back to the Chikir. The third issue is what's the best method of doing Shnayim Mikravecha Targum? Should you read through the whole Parsha twice and then read the whole Targum of the whole Parsha straight? Should you read Pasuk Targum? Pasuk Targum, one Pasuk at a time? Right, what's the best thing to do? So in Divrei Chamudos, on the bottom of the Rosh, he quotes two days. If you should do the whole Parsha meaning Psuchos Stuma, doesn't mean, Balos HaShlach kind of Parsha, but you read the entire Parsha, or it's better to read each Pasuk Targum. Now, what's behind this Machlokas? Why does it matter? Why does it matter what you're doing?
How they used to do it.
So if you can mimic what they did in the shuls, and that's what we're trying to do, so in L'chora, you should do it however they did it. How did they do it? They did it by Pasuk, right? Why would you say to do the whole Parsha? What would be the Vardin of the whole Parsha?
It's good for Parish, it's context.
It's better to understand, right? Because if you try to do Shnayim Mekavech Targum and you do Chumash Rashi, Rashi very often is referring to something that's going to be said three Pesukim later, right? It's very, very hard to really get what's going on. You need to get a full picture. So a good way to get a full picture in terms of your Limra Torah, so now we're discovering another possibility, it comes out through the Zoras itself, right? Through your Limra Torah, it's a better Limra Torah when you're learning the entire parasha. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I have a third approach that's different than these two approaches, and I think it makes much more sense than both of these approaches. Rabbi Yaakov has a Mavo Lemikra in the Sefer Emes Yaakov on Chumash. He has like an introduction to Limud HaMikra. Rabbi Yaakov was known amongst Gedolei Yisrael. I gave one of my Hakdama Shirim. We gave Shirim in Leif Shlomo on Hakdamos of interesting and important Svarim. So one of the Hakdamos, one of my favorite Hakdamos, is this Mivol Limud HaMikra that Rabbi Yaakov has in Emes Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov, amongst the Gedolei Yisrael of the last generation, was known as like the big Bucky in Tanakh. He was, they said he knew Tanakh Bal Peh. He was incredible in Tanakh. And he said, he once said that Reb Chaim Heller, the difference between him and Reb Chaim Heller, because Reb Chaim, people said, he would rave about Reb Chaim Heller's knowledge of Tanakh. I said, Rabbi Yaakov, you know all of Tanakh Baal Peh. What are you raving about, Rabbi Chaim Heller? He said, Rabbi Chaim Heller, if you asked him any word in Tanakh, he could immediately tell you what the trup was in that word without thinking. He said, I can't do that. So, okay, Rabbi Chaim Heller was the Rav's Rebbe. You ever heard of Rabbi Chaim Heller? He was not a very public figure. He was the only one of Soloveitchik considered as his Rebbe. So I just saw a story written somewhere that someone was by the Rav's house on a Yantif, and the phone kept on ringing and ringing and ringing. And he wasn't answering it because it was Yantif. And then a telegram came to the Rav from Rav Chaim Heller. He was in the hospital and he had a medical shaila, and he wanted to get Eitzah from the Rav before he decided what he was going to do, what course of treatment to pursue. So he said, this Pikuach Nefesh, answer the phone. So the Rav answered the phone. So he answered the phone. He answered for anything for Rav Chaim Heller. He would, there were plenty of doctors in the hospital, but Rav Chaim Heller was only comfortable with the Rav making the Eitzah. So, okay. Anyway, so this is from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, not from Rav Chaim Heller. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky discusses, in his Mavol, Limud HaMikra, why it is that Chumash is called Mikra. What does Mikra mean? What does the word actually mean? Mikra? Well, Mikra is happening, but with an Aleph, to read. Right? Kriya, Vayikra, Mikra, to read. So he says, why is it called readings? Why is it called readings? Chumash is called readings. And he said, not only that, you find sometimes that all of Tanakh is called Mikra. Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, Shlish b'Talmud. You should divide up your learning day, the Gemara says, Maseches Kiddushin, three ways. One third in Mikra, one third in Mishnah, one third in Talmud. When are you doing Nach? Must be Mikra includes Nach also, right? And sometimes we find that Mikra is a reference only to Chumash and not to the rest of Tanakh. The Gemara tell us, for instance, all the different things, darshans from Pesukim, all the different things that were given at Sinai. And it says, this word means Mikra, and this word means Neviim and Ksuvim, and this word means Mishnah. What do you mean? Neviim and Ksuvim is not... So sometimes just Chumash, and sometimes all of Tanakh is called Mikra. It says, because Mikra means read. Wherever there's value in reading is going to be called Mikra. Torah Shebaal Peh is not to be read, ideally. In the Jewish ideal, Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be Baal Peh. It's not supposed to be read. So all of Tanakh is more accurately labeled as Mikra than Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why sometimes all of Tanakh is called Mikra. But within the world of Torah Shebichsav, Chumash is more Mikra than Neviim and Ksuvim are. Why? Because there's greater value in just reading Chumash than there is in just reading Neviim and Ksuvim. How so? So one reason is, well, we have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. There's an actual public mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah and Chumash. But says Rav Yaakov, it's more than that. Chumash is the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated word for word to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevi Muksuvim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a vision to a Navi. Navi had to interpret that vision and put it into his own words. The words themselves are the words of the Navi, they're not the words of God. The ideas that those words express are the ideas of God, but the words are the words of a Navi. So says Rabbi Yaakov, what if you don't understand a word of what you're reading? Is there any value in reading, opening up a Tanakh, opening up a Bible and just reading it if you don't understand a word? So he said, well, if you're just reading the word of some Navi who's trying to express an idea of God and you're not getting the idea, well, then you're missing the whole point. No, you're not accomplishing anything. But if you're reading the Dvar Hashem, you're reading the actual words of God, whether you understand them or not, that's got to make a difference. That has to mean something. So there's a partial kiyum of Talmud Torah, says Rabbi Yaakov, when you open up a Chumash and read words of Chumash without understanding a single word of what you're reading. So says Rabbi Yaakov.
What's that based on?
Because it's the Dvar Hashem. That it was all dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Just because by Navi, there's no point, let's say, because it's just the words of a Navi. But, okay, so they are the words of God, obviously,
So it probably relates to the idea the Ramban discusses in his Hakdama to his Perush on Chumash, where the Ramban says that Yesh Lanu Kabbalah Shel Emes, that the entire Torah is Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even with the Tzirif Osios, even if you read Bereishis Bara as the Beis Reish Alpha Bereishis Bara, and the last Sheyis Bara, that's also part of the Shemos of Hashem, and meaning the letters themselves have Kedusha. That they themselves are meaningful, even if you don't even understand the Tzirif Osios. We understand it on a very basic level, the Ramban says, but the whole thing is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that itself has value. That's why the Ramban says, if a Sefer Torah is Chasar Osachas, it's possible, because it's ruining the Shem Hashem. But we don't even understand the Shem Hashem anyway. And if that Osachas doesn't change the meaning, why should a possible the Sefer Torah? But the Ramban holds it does, because it's ruining the Shem Hashem. So actually reading the Shem Hashem and the Dvar Hashem has some spiritual significance. Even though for those who are, you know, who are like us, are very logically oriented, it doesn't seem like it should, but it has significance because that is the Shem Hashem, to say the Shem Hashem. So, says Rabbi Yaakov, if it's true, naniach that this is true, that there's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, obviously in understanding Torah, but with Chumash there's an additional kiyum of Talmud Torah in just reading the words. If you grant me that that's true, he says, I could explain to you why you do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Remember we asked before, why not just Echad Mikra Vecha Targum? Why Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? So why is it Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? So says Rabbi Yaakov, because Mikra is so unique as an area of study, in that it has a double kiyum of Talmud Torah. So you want to express the kiyum of Talmud Torah in both ways. By reading it twice, you're showing that there are two elements to the kiyum of Talmud Torah. There's the element of reading, and then there's the element of reading with understanding. That's why it's only one time around with Targum. One time you read, just to read, as if you don't understand. Whether you do or not, it's irrelevant. Even if you do, you read as if you're reading someone who doesn't understand. Just read it right through. And then the second time, read it with Targum. And then you're showing that second level, that higher level of Talmud Torah, of actually understanding it. So he says, "What?" So this changes the whole idea of what the goal of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is. What is it? To show the chashivas of Chumash. So that we could understand and internalize the chashivas of Chumash. How should you do it? This is where we started. How should you do it? Parsha, parsha, then Targum? Pasuk, pasuk, then Targum? Says Rabbi Yaakov, neither. You do a compromise shita. Read the entire parsha through once, ki'ilu, you don't understand it. That's the first level. Then the second time around, pasuk targum, pasuk targum, pasuk targum, like you're trying to understand it, like you're trying to translate it as you go. And that's the higher level of Talmud Torah. That's, yeah?
No, but how would that translate to maybe Haftorah doing Shnayim Mikra
Vecha Targum? Also a good cash. Should we do it on Haftorah? Right? Is there any point in doing Haftorah? Should you just skip the Targum? Should you just do Echad Mikra on Haftorah? Should you do nothing on Haftorah? Also, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, should you do it on Yantif? We have a lot of questions. Let's say you're Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, or Ben Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, and they're not reading the Parsha that you're going to be reading, but everyone else is doing Shnayim Mikra. You're off one, right? Like we were before Shavuos. So should you do what you're up to in Shnayim Mikra? Or should you do what they're up to in Shnayim Mikra? All of these questions. Let's get a few more of these questions in before we plug it into the Chakira. Another issue. When should you do Shnayim Mikra? So Tosfos says you begin from Mincha. You begin from Mincha and Shabbos. And he says 2 days where you have to finish before you eat your meal the following Shabbos. Why dafke eating the meal? Why would it depend on eating the meal before Shabbos? So Rabbi Yonah says something much more logical. Rabbi Yonah says, no. Finish before Kriyas HaTorah the following Shabbos. Ooh, before Kriyas HaTorah, that makes some sense. Why? Because that must be telling me that the point of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum relates to Kriyas HaTorah. Right? It's about Kriyas. But why before the meal? What does that have to do with anything? Tur writes that you have to begin from Sunday, once you've already begun reading in a shul, Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. And that's how many Rishonim say as well. So, the Mishabur just says, no, it doesn't really mean from Sunday, it means after Mincha. So like many Rishonim, that you could do it after Mincha. Says the Mishabur, but the best time to do it, the entire Parsha, Erev Shabbos. Save the whole thing for Erev Shabbos, do the whole thing Erev Shabbos, L'chadchila, it's the best thing to do. And then the Mishabur says, but the Gra was knowing not that way. You know, and the Gra was a pretty L'chadchila kind of Yid. But he was knowing not that way, not to do it the entire Parsha Erev Shabbos. When Rav Shechter came to North Woodmere for a Shabbos, he stayed by my sister's house. I dropped him off by my sister's house a couple of hours before Shabbos. Then my sister calls me 5 minutes later. She's like, we just had a blackout. Or we have no electricity in our house. What am I supposed to do? She was freaking out. How can I have the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbe Tzinyi, at all Shabbos? I'm not going to be able to get anything from the fridge. I'm not going to be able to... So I went over to see what was going on. And I go to the house, and it was, the house was pitch black, and Rav Shechter was by a window with a little Chumash Rashi, like this, squinting into the, trying to get Shnayim Mikra done. So yeah, so he's no Igdur on Erev Shabbos, so he didn't have time any time earlier that week to do Dafka on Erev Shabbos. So why would it be Dafka Erev Shabbos? What's the Indian Dafka Erev Shabbos? Well, if it's preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, it makes plenty of sense to Dafka do it Erev Shabbos. Right? You want to Dafka do it as close to Kriyas HaTorah as possible. In fact, in Mipnei Rav, Rav Shachter writes from the Rav that the Ikra's man is really on Shabbos. It's just that that's very difficult for people. You're going to make everyone do the entire Parsha on Shabbos morning before Kriyas HaTorah, Friday night. That's very, very hard. So we let you do it over the whole course of the week. But really, really, the Ikra's man is Shabbos, says Rav Shachter B'Shem the Rav. Now, the Bir Halacha just says, when we say you have to finish it before the Suda, it's not really about the Suda per se, it's just that we're afraid once you start eating, you're going to get so busy with the meal that you're not going to end up doing the Shnayim Mikra. But what's this all about? Why are we so makbid on the... You know, at the end of the day, I point out in the notes over here, in the outline over here, that there are four shitos when you can start, five shitos when you can finish. When you can start are either Shabbos Mincha, Sunday, Erev Shabbos, or Shabbos itself. Five shitos when you could finish, before davening on Shabbos in the morning, before you eat on Shabbos, before Mincha on Shabbos, when it's already time for the next Parsha, right? That's a sensible cutoff point, when it's time for the next Parsha. Beis Yosef quotes B'dieved until Wednesday. Why until Wednesday? Tells us over here discusses. Why? Because that's the first few days of the week are still considered connected to the previous week, right? You might not come in if you say to someone, I'll give you the money after Shabbos. So if you're still connecting that time to this Shabbos, how long do you have to give the money? Doesn't mean, well, 10 years from now is also after Shabbos. No, but if you're connecting it to this Shabbos, so up until Tuesday, through Tuesday is after Shabbos. Same with Havdalah. It only makes sense to say Havdalah through Tuesday. Right? And then the fifth day is Rabbeinu Simcha, they quote, that you could be mashlim until Shemini Atzeres. Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Simcha. You could always make it up until Shemini Atzeres. Okay? That's another issue. Another issue to discuss. We're ready now. So what's the chakir? What are the tzadim of the chakir? Why do we do shnayim mikvecha targum? So one thing we keep on repeating is you do it to prepare. You do it to prepare yourself to be able to read, to be able to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and you'll be all set. You'll know what's going on at Kriyas HaTorah. That's why you do shnayim mikvecha targum. And there's no denying the value in that, of having just learnt it and then you hear it again, and it's very nice. It's very good. There's great value in that. There might be another tzad though. Simply said, we have an obligation to know Kol HaTorah Kula. Knowing Kol HaTorah Kula starts with Chumash. We have to know Chumash, right? Rabbi Yechiel Weberman told me when he finished Shas, when he made his first Siman on Shas, that Rabbi Naftali Yeager, the Rosh Yeshiva Shayashiv, came over to him and said, you know, Mazel Tov, it's wonderful. But you should know, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you have to finish Shas. But it does say in Shulchan Aruch you have to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. That it says in Shulchan Aruch. That you have to do. Sometimes people are, they'll finish Shas sooner than they'll do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. You got to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. So what's the value of this? So it could be that it's a Din in Talmud Torah. That a person, the Rambam describes, when he talks about the Gemara in Kiddushin of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So all the Rishonim are bothered by the same kasha. The Ran of the Zara and the Ran there in Kiddushin. Everyone's bothered by the same kasha. Tosfos over there. They're all bothered. Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. That's a terrible way to become a Talmud Chacham. I mean, if you're going to learn 12 hours a day, you're going to spend 4 hours on Mikra, 4 hours on Mishnah, 4 hours on Talmud. What do you need to spend 4 hours on Mishnah for? You're learning Talmud anyway. So it's, you know, an hour on Mishnah and learn... Whatever, 7 hours of Talmud. And Talmud is so much harder, it's so much bigger, it's so much more analytical, it takes so many more skills. So shouldn't you focus most of your energy on that which requires the most effort? It's not a very smart thing to do one third of each. So says the Rambam, no, you're not supposed to do one third of each. The Rambam says, Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is until you become fluent enough in Mikra and Mishnah that you don't have to spend Shlish of your time on it anymore. Once you become fluent enough in Mikra and Mishnah, says the Rambam, you should then just learn Talmud all day long and be'itim mezumanim, I think is his lashon, at, you know, specific times, random times, you should chaperayin a little bit to chazer your Mikra and Mishnah so you don't forget it. Because when you don't chazer, you're going to forget. But just to make sure you maintain a fluency, that you don't lose all that knowledge of Mikra and Mishnah that you used to have, so you should go over Mikra and Mishnah. It could very well be So what's the Ram doing? The Ram is telling you, I'm giving you a curriculum. A curriculum in Talmud Torah. You have a goal. It's important to have goals in Talmud Torah. It's not just, I'm learning, so I'm frum, so I'll get a good shidduch, so that's it. No, you should actually have a goal to know Torah. Torah should be something that we try to be kone. So you have a curriculum. So the Rambam says, curriculum is shlish mikra, shlish mikra, shlish mikra, Talmud, until you become fluent. Once you become fluent, you emphasize Talmud over the other two, and then but you got to make sure you still know it. So keep chazering every once in a while. So it could very well be Chazal were determined to come up with a way that all of us will be literate in the five books of Moses. That will at least be, you know, we'll at least be able to hold a conversation in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That we should at least have something to chazar over quickly, a quick chazara. So I didn't know about this. Jonas Steinman showed me that in the Hakdama to the Sefer HaChinuch, because I didn't do this Hakdama yet in my Hakdama Shiur. Got to do this next, I guess. That Sefer HaChinuch writes, I didn't read it yet, so we'll see if he really says it. I'm trusting you here. He writes, V'achas min ha-mitzvos, v'yikr v'yisod, shakul n'shanos salad, he mitzvos liman ha-Torah. One of the mitzvahs, and that's the ikr, the yisod that all of the mitzvahs rely on, is limud haTorah. Ki belimud yeda adam haMitzvos v'yikayim osan. Through learning that you'll know the mitzvahs, you'll fulfill them. Val kein kavolanu chachamenu zecharon v'ra likros chelek echad misefer haTorah b'makom kibbutz ha'am shu beis haKnesses lo'or elev adam al divrei haTorah v'haMitzvos. And that's why we have kriyas haTorah, because shvua shvua shiyigmu kol haSefer. We read from the Torah every week till we finish all of Chumash. Ulefima shashman rovi sol nogim ayom likrosu kulo. B'shana achas. Unbelievable. He says, and I even heard that the minig is developing now, that they finish the entire Torah every year. It used to not always be that way. So there's another nafkamina in Archaki, we'll see. V'ol chivunu chachameinu zichrono l'vracha. L'krosa kol echad ve'echad mi'yisrael bebeiso. B'chol shvua v'shmur kamosh karnos v'makam ha'kibbutz. V'zeu armu zichrono l'vracha l'ol mi'yashem odem parashiyos v'matzibur. There you have it. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Why do we do Shnayim Mikravecha Targum? It didn't, Talmud Torah. So again, two-sided Chakira this time. Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. It didn't, Talmud Torah, or it didn't prepare for Kriyas HaTorah. 10 Nafkaminas. Number one, you read Pasuk Targum, you read Parsha Targum. If it didn't, Talmud Torah, you should do what's best for your learning. So whichever works best for you. Jonah said before, what seems to work best is at least read the whole parsha once, because then you get context. But if it's about preparing for Kriyas HaTorah, Yesh Ladun, right? If it's about preparing for Kriyas HaTorah, you could say, well, then mimic what they do at Kriyas HaTorah. Or you could say, no, that's the preparation isn't to mimic. The preparation is to know what it's talking about. Okay. But Pashas is to mimic what they do at Kriyas HaTorah. Now, for community number two, so you have to finish it before Kriyas HaTorah. If it's all preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, so I better finish it before Kriyas HaTorah. It's too late to finish it after Kriyas HaTorah, no? So Shabbos Mincha is too late. I'm ready. I missed it. I missed the Kriyas HaTorah. And part of this nafkamina, is there any value in trying to make it up? Other than just normal Talmud Torah. But is there any value dafkin in trying to make it up? So if it's a din of Talmud Torah, that we have a schedule of how to learn Kol HaTorah in 1 year, of Kol Chamisha Chumshei Torah in a year, so of course you should try to make it up. But if it's just a din in preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, what's the point of making it up? Third Nafkamina, can you be Mekayim during Kriyas HaTorah? Meaning, let's say you only did one Mikra, one Targum before. So do the Mikra of Kriyas HaTorah, during Kriyas HaTorah. So if it's a din in preparing for Kriyas HaTorah, well, it's too late to prepare for Kriyas HaTorah while you're doing Kriyas HaTorah. Preparation that they required is two times Mikri, you didn't do it. But if it's a din in Talmud Torah, so I'll kill two birds with one stone. I have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, I have to listen anyway. Plus, it's a din of Talmud Torah to read it twice. Good! So I'll be Mekayim. So you gotta look at Mishmur Sivkat Beis and the Be'er Halacha, he discusses this Kula. Yeah.
If you are Mekayim during Kriyas Torah itself, do you have to actually say it along with the Baal Kore, or can you just listen to him?
Probably you should say it alone, because even if it's in Talmud Torah, probably it's a greater kima Talmud Torah when you mouth it out. Not enough community, do you need Targum or anything else, like we said before, any other perish, Rashi, if it's Kriyas HaTorah, so then there's Dafka Targum, or if it's Talmud Torah, whatever helps you learn. Fifth Nafkamina, do you have to read the Parshios they're going to read on Yontif in Shul? If it's a program in Talmud Torah, So why would you read random parshios in the middle of nowhere? You're on schedule. You're going through Bereishis to the end, right? But if it's a din in preparing for Kriyas Torah, so before Yom Tov. Another nafkamina, number six. Rav Betzalel Stern and Betzalel HaChachma. Deborah Tzin, Rav's brother-in-law. Chelek Aleph Simin Yud. It discusses our Shaila I mentioned before. The Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Or the Ben Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. They're reading the wrong parsha for me this week. What do I do? I'm on schedule to read, you know, whatever it was. You know, Parsha A. And they're reading in Shul Parsha B. So should I read what I'm on schedule to do? Or should I read what they're going to be reading in Shul? What does the Gemara sound like? So you could say, Im HaTzibur means prepare yourself what the Tzibur is going to do. It's Kriyas HaTorah. Or you could say it's like a Rav Meir Shapiro din. It's a Daf Yomi idea. Hey, have everyone on the same page. Huh?
Which Tzibur you were part of it.
Right. That too. Mm-hmm. Rav Menashe Klein discusses, are women chayiv in Shnayim Mekavech HaTargum? In Mishnah Alachos, Chelek Vav Simen Samach. So Rav Menashe Klein says, no, of course not. Chas v'shalom. They're not chayiv in Talmud Torah. Why would they be chayiv in Shnayim Mekavech HaTargum? Let's say they go to shul. And they hear Kriyas Torah. Whoever's in shul has to listen to Kriyas Torah. Women can't be, schmoozing during Kriyas Torah. Whoever's there is chiv to listen. So should they do Shnayim Mikra if they're planning on going to shul? L'chor b'tali in this chakira. If Nash Klein doesn't hear of it, l'chor b'tali in this chakira. Nafkamina number eight. Do you have to read it with trap? See, in the old days, what does it mean preparing for Kriyas Torah? Because they could call on you. If they give you an aliyah, that means you're laning that aliyah. And also, you just want to prepare the way they're going to do it in shul, with the nigun atayim and with the trap. But if it's just in Talmud Torah, yesh ladin, you could say it's din in Talmud Torah, but the trap is also halacha l'moshe misina, the Gemara in Erevin says. Right? Trap is very important. And trap should not be underestimated as an aid in understanding. Where the punctuation goes helps you understand the pasuk a great deal also. So that's not a slam dunk of a nafkamina, because even if it's in the Talmud Torah, it still might be better to do it with the trap. Nafkamina number nine, do you do the haftarah? If it's in to prepare yourself what they're doing in shul, or they're doing the haftarah in shul. If it's in the Talmud Torah, that's a lousy way to learn through Navi, by just reading through the haftarahs. Much better way to learn through Navi by actually seeing it in context and going through, you know, Navi. Nafkamina number 10, the Siach Yitzchak, Tshuva Sefer, from the late 19th century, early 20th century, Hungarian Rav, I think, discusses that there was a minhag that people used to read the first, on Shabbos, when they would do Shnayim Mikra Vechatarim, they would do the first aliyah of the next week also. What's the basis of that minhag? So if it's in the Talmud Torah, it doesn't really seem to make sense. Why Dafka the first aliyah of the next week? But if it's in preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, it makes plenty of sense. Because that Shabbos Mincha, where's going to be your preparation for Shabbos Mincha and for Monday and Thursday? So you want to get a head start, and at least till Sheni, the first Aliyah of the next Parsha, for the Monday and the Thursday. Alright, there are other... And again, like I said, do we come down on one side in all of these 10 Nafkaminas? No, I don't think so. I think our minhag is people generally, maybe I shouldn't assume what people's minhagim are. I have not been makbid to do Shnayim Mikra for Yantif, leaning for Kriyas Torah and Yantif, which means I'm assuming it's a din in preparation for, but I also do Rashi, which means I assume it's a din in Talmud Torah, right? So, okay, I think there's the Shnayim Mikra Vechatagim Takana included a lot of ideas. And as long as we fulfill the general gedarim that the post can give us, we're in fulfillment of that mitzvah. Whether we're fulfilling to the fullest extent both of the ideas that are associated with Shnayim Mikra Vechatagim or not. Okay, Shalom Yizachet Kol Kol Kol.